All right, members, we'll make a start. I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting. It's a one-item agenda. It's a presentation by the housing executive. Can I have apologies first?
Apologies from Liam Hannaway as well.
And Michael.
Councillor Dorn, Sean Dorn. Is that it then, folks? Yeah. All right. I was just introduced to the personnel that's going to give the presentation. Siobhan McCauley, Director of Regional Services, is going to give the main presentation, the bulk of the presentation, assisted by Loma Wilsons, South Down Area Manager, and also Kerry Irvin. Your title is Head of Place Shaping. Yeah. Thanks, Kerry. Siobhan, it's over to you then.
Thank you very much, members, and we appreciate the opportunity from the Housing Executive to present today on the Housing Investment Plan. I'm going to quickly go through it because I know members don't like long presentations, so I'll try and be as short and snappy as I can. Really, the purpose of the plan is to replace our historic district housing plan, and it's two main purposes. We're statutorily required under the Housing Order to report to councils on our past year's performance and also on our next year plans. And also, we're a new community planning partner, and with the HIP, it provides basically for you as a council the evidence base on the housing needs and the requirements. We don't look just at social housing, we look at affordable and we look at private sector housing to see the totality in requirements. And also, we're statutory in the local development plan, and we're looking forward to seeing the local development plans as they start to develop out moving forward. To give an overview, we consult with a range of stakeholders on the housing market in Uri Mourne and Down District Council area. We examine, as I said, cross 10-year housing issues and the social housing investment at a local level. It is a 4-year plan, but we annually update it. And it really reflects our community planning priorities linked with yourselves, which is highlighted in the Living Well Together, a community plan for Uri Mourne and Down to 2030. We look at 5 themes which we link within our corporate plan. That is really identifying and meeting housing needs and demands, improving people's homes, which is a lot of our grant activity, transforming people's lives, which is our supporting people, enabling sustainable neighbourhoods, which is our place-shaping role and linking in to local development plans, and to deliver high-quality services. And the 10 outcomes are highlighted with key actions and outcomes in the full plan that you should have in front of you. And the tables also show our last year performance against the plans and our actions for the next 2 years and a long-term outlook. I suppose in these, I always look at the bottom line to see, am I coming telling people I'm giving them less money or more? The good news on the 17-18 spend is it's actually up. It's going up to 19,070,000. In regard to total spend, it is different because our new Build and Housing Association grant comes in at a year-end position. Because the programme is fluid, as projects don't go on site, we try to bring new projects onto the programme. Looking at where the differences are, is the first one's capital improvements. there's a significant programme of capital improvements planned for this year in the area. Plant maintenance is also up. That is areas like doing our planned kitchen work. I'll go into that in the next slide. Our response maintenance, again, is up, responding to what our customer requirements are in line with repairs. Our private sector grants is also up, and our grant maintenance is up slightly. Our supporting people is down a small amount, and it is the same right across Northern Ireland because there is continued pressures from the sector for supporting people. In regards to maintenance investment in 16-17 and 17-18, as you can see, an outside maintenance, that was external cyclical maintenance work. It was 117. It's going up this year to 753. A key for us on this is good weather. Obviously, if you've good weather, it's great and you get plenty of the work done. If you don't, we have to reprogram around the timelines on it. Our kitchen installation this year is going up to 401 and our heating up to 273. Our double glazing we're not doing, and as you know, the programme in the last 3 years right across Northern Ireland was to double glaze all houses, and that has been achieved. And we're out on a programme of re-looking in that 15-year cycle of what we do in double glazing. And we have a capital scheme going forward as well at 22 million. Key housing issues. The key housing issues for Newry-Mourne and Downdistrict Council are actually the same across Northern Ireland. We have an ageing population. I think it's about 2025. We're looking at around 30% over 65. We have total housing executive stock is 5338 units. We have 3,322 applicants on the waiting list, and we have 71% in housing stress. That's a 4.5 increase from 2264 last year. And we have 1,206 households who present as homeless, and we have 68% who we have accepted as homeless. And we have 414 social housing allocations in 16-17 provided. In 16-17, we did 84 new social homes started, 182 new social homes were in sight, and 42 new social homes were completed. Our future housing issues, as you will see in the information pack, is we have 1,906 new social housing units needed over the next 5 years. Our new build programme currently has 538 gross new social housing units programmed, and if we can get off the shelf or an existing satisfactory purchase, we look at those as well. It's mixed tenure developments and affordable housing, having an opportunity of not just having social housing, but other opportunities for those in low income brackets as well. And rural need and availability of land in smaller settlements. We do deal with rural policy. We have that in a unit in the housing executive, and we take rural as very important. And we try to factor it in all the work areas to capture what we're achieving within the rural community. And obviously it's the area of welfare reform and suitable accommodation, universal credit, and how that's going to impact on the householder. Our next steps are to progress against the HIC objectives, which we will be regularly monitoring and we will report on annually. The Housing Investment Plan, the Community Plan and the Local Development Plan, we aim that this, in the same way as you do, is it should fit all together. And our colleagues will continue to work with the councils. We have local representatives as well as looking regionally right across everywhere that it connects together, and to provide evidence and agree outcomes. So that is a quick run through the presentation, and I know members always like to ask questions, so I'm happy to answer any questions and pass to my colleagues as well.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Yvonne, for that. Who's in first? Councillor Burgess? What I'll do is I'll take three at a time to ask you questions.
Well, just a short question. Thanks very much for all that information there. There's a lot to take in very quickly. Maybe you could email us that so we'd have the effects and figures. In the same field, there's a lot of apartment type of accommodation, and there's a need in the same field. Is there no way that you can buy those off the shelf? That's at the mill. Also, there's five cottages that has been derelict on the Ballygown Road for a term, and the housing sector had it up for sale, but they haven't sold it and haven't done anything with it, and it's just growing wild. Is there any way that we could look at maybe doing something at that piece of land? Because there is a need in St. Louis. I'm only talking about my own area, but I have no doubt that I could go over all areas, but that was one I would like to see if there's any answers to that.
Right, fair enough. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I have really concerns about the rural areas and the lack of houses and the number of houses that we have built, particularly in my own area over the last number of years. I'd say in the Cross Midland, Craigan, a lot of that area, we hadn't had very few houses built in the last 10 years. I know there's a serious want for two bedroom houses, and in the last number of weeks, working with the housing executive, trying to get two-bedroom homes for people and that, and they're saying, like, they're just not coming up because there's no turnover in the two-bedroom houses, and the people then isn't considered for three-bedroom. So they could be at the very top of the list, you know, with very high points and still never get a house, you know. So we are really in a real crisis within, and as I say, just pure lack of build that never happened. The other issue have the maintenance, like the it's hard to get the housing sector to do maintenance work. It's really a very hard lobby. You know, when we end up with elected representatives going out trying to get meetings with the housing sector officers or coming to houses trying to get worked on, because they're just actually not answered to the tenants at all. You know, we've got a lot of work on to ourselves. And concerns around that, and the quality of the work is in what I've seen in some of the houses, the quality of the work is dreadful. You know, so I believe that there is a real crisis in the rural area for housing. We have an area in Colville, we were told there was going to be a build of houses. It's been running on for the last 10 years, never happened ever. You know, so I'm saying we really need something done to address the crisis that's happening out there.
Well, thanks, Councillor Hardy. Well, I'll take one more in this group, Councillor Anders.
Well, thank you very much, sir. First of all, to the housing sector, I'd like to thank you for the presentation, and also to the local officials who worked so hard with tariffs and often seen the problem despite the present constraints. Just a few wee pointers. Now, just in relation to the right to buy scheme that was brought out a few years ago, can the housing executive not buy back former properties that were sold on that basis? And also, too, in relation to the current budget situation, will it have an impact on the proposed maintenance programmes, both external and interior, for the 2017-18 years? In relation to disability issues, for example, for people who are disabled and are in wheelchairs, for example, who need houses adapted to their needs. I know a lot of housing stock were built in the 60s and 70s, but in any future schemes, will disability be at the forefront? And also, people mentioned too, and a lot of people say, well, why can't local people get local houses? People who've been on a waiting list for years, and I'm not on my own here, there's a lot of other councillors who sit in this chamber in the same boat, that local people can't get local housing, and yet, you know, it's just, I know you're tied by legislation and by points, but that's concerns that people would get. So that's just a few wee pointers that I've raised, and thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Councillor Andrews. I don't know who wants to take between you then, so on.
Okay, I'll hit through to each. Right, the first one is, on place shaping, do you want to start, Kiri, on Councillor Burgess, one of off-the-shelf apartments, and particularly there, the derelict Valley Glen Road?
Yes, well, I'll pick up on the off-the-shelf properties. Certainly wherever we have housing need, we would consider off-the-shelf properties, providing the association can reach a satisfactory agreement. The associations are tied by the amount of money that they can actually pay for a lot of the off-the-shelf buildings, but where they have been able to do it, they have been acquiring off-the-shelf. If you see me afterwards and give me the details of where the properties are, we'll certainly look at it and see if we can maybe do that. In terms of the cottages, probably
Okay, so those are the cottages at Glasdrummond Road. Yeah, okay. So, yes, they have been on the open market for a number of years. We have looked at the feasibility even of putting our own social housing on there because there's housing need. But there's an issue with ownership of a laneway there and access to that ground. So as it stands at the moment, it is with our central unit to do an economic appraisal to decide the way forward. But we are aware of it and we are looking into it. Okay.
Okay. In relation to rural housing, and particularly, as you said, in two-bed houses, we have, as you say, a low churn now of housing. What is happening is, yes, people are staying in the properties and they're staying in the properties longer. That's why we try to keep a level of void properties, so that we can have a continued churn on the waiting list. And that's why in the local development plan we're keen to have not just social housing but affordable housing as well, so that we can move some people through, so that we can use the stock at a faster rate. But there is overarchingly, and you know that in the Newry Mornington area, there is a shortage of housing. And effectively the bigger issue on this is that we need to get land, and appropriate land in order that we can develop out. We're looking at a land acquisition programme. We've met with the department on this, and the intention is that we will be able to acquire pieces of land in order to be able to develop out, build on. And that is what the Housing Association movement will tell you is where the major issue for them with lack of build is. If we could get it off the surplus sites of all of the sites we have in the public sector, that would be helpful, because at the moment on their grant rate, what happens is if the private sector individual comes in and goes above market value, they take it and it's gone. So effectively, if we could do that through surplus across Northern Ireland, that would be helpful. The next question was in relation then to maintenance work and the quality is dreadful. Loma?
Yes, Councillor Hardy, disappointed to hear about issues going on there. We do have some issues with our response maintenance contractor. I think it's fair to say that we're working through those. The issues go right across the contract. The contract that we have with them goes from North Down and Orange through to Downpatrick and Uri and Mourne area. So we are looking at that. We have monthly meetings with them and we're trying to improve that. They do tend to use a lot of subcontractors. So we're trying to get to the bottom of that, but I would be concerned as well that if things are that particularly bad, that I'm not getting a lot of that feedback. So if there's anything you want to personally give me some examples or talk about, I'm happy to do that as well.
Well, in the specifics of the land, we can look at that, because I can certainly assure you that any land that is suitable, we transfer around 30% of our lands across to the housing associations to build on. So any land that we see is in areas of social need and that require development are put onto the programme. So if there is specific examples of the land, happy to meet with you afterwards and we'll discuss that through, because we'll probably know some of the dynamics or the detail of who owns the land and what the issues are. In regards to maintenance and maintenance being dreadful, to be, we're at around 4 or 5 years doing significant work on ensuring that the quality is very high. The board takes that issue very seriously and we get recordings every month of the quality from the contractors. In addition to that, which didn't happen historically, damages are applied. So if the quality is not coming through to the level required and it's not meeting the requirements of our maintenance, then the contractors will be hit with damages. And eventually what is happening is we're rolling in on contracts and new contractors. So on that one, there is specifics in that, and we're more than happy to meet with you afterwards to work through the detail. We will have, no doubt, further detail on the site. The next one is right to buy and not buy back former properties. There was an attempt for us to purchase back properties. The difficulty is, as a housing authority, we're a public body. When money goes into the housing associations to buy, part of the money is coming from borrowing, and therefore on that, it's not fully publicly supported, because borrowing is coming into the mix. And that's why we're not able to actually buy back former properties. But we are looking at the moment on the right to sell at the moment our stock, and to see if there's anything can be done there so that we can retain the existing 89,500 houses that we do have and that they don't go out. But again, that will be a government decision on that, on retaining those. The other one was disabled housing adaptations. Will the priority on disabled housing adaptations go up? It is a high priority currently, and yes, I can see it will. On our private sector disabled adaptation stock, we get around, I think it's around 13.5 million. It's spent every year in full, aligned to that, and we also have a budget, I think it's around 4 or 5 million aligned to our actual social housing stock. What we are trying to do on both is we have brought in transformation, whereby we're looking at the end-to-end process to see if we can do it much more quickly. We're also working with the OTs and the healthcare system who refer these to us, so that we're hoping as we move forward that we can move faster on the process of ensuring that somebody who brings forward a disabled adaptation gets it done in much quicker time. And I'd be confident by next year we'll see some of those results rolling through in time frames. The last one there was the waiting list on local housing. The waiting list comes into the common selection scheme and the allocations policy. It has been in place for a number of years. It has been under review. Recently, government has said they're releasing it to consultation, and I think it's going to consult right through now until Christmas time. So there is an opportunity for everybody to feed into that, but I do think that will change somewhat on the other end and some of these recommendations on what our waiting list will look like and what the pointing system is currently and what other suggestions are coming through on that.
Right, thanks very much.
Chairman, if I could just come in on just one point, please. Councillor Hardy mentioned one of the rural areas of Colville where new builds are required. We do have a scheme for 5 units on the programme, and the it's actually a land transfer scheme from our own land bank, and the land is currently in the process of being transferred to the association and should be on site this year.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. First of all, Siobhan, just a word of thanks for your team and the work that they do. They have been very willing participants in the community planning meetings, and their contribution has been greatly appreciated. And we certainly look forward to working with your team as we approach the local development plans as well. And also a word of thanks as well. You'll maybe pass it on to Brona McGorian. She finds it extremely helpful in our local Downpatrick area. But just as I know that the private rented sector does play a significant role in providing houses, and I do note that even in the local town of Ballinahinch, you know, there's still some properties that are vacant. There's still business properties where there looks there's a capability of maybe having an apartment over the shop. And I know previously there was that scheme, that lot scheme, living over the shops. But I do feel that there needs to be, again, some sort of an incentive for the private sector to rejuvenate them, to make it a viable business proposition for them. But I do think that there would be opportunity there if there was some finance available to the local private person to kick start that, and it would maybe deal with a lot of individual needs, you know, whereas properties needed even just one bedroom, you know, for individuals. So I'm just wondering if there's anything in the pipeline regarding that.
I would welcome that totally. In regards to empty homes, we had empty homes for a while and classifying them and identifying where they were. We weren't and didn't have any money for incentives to actually do them up. However, it came to our attention that through Heritage Lottery funding, they were doing two historic buildings and a number of them over the shops. They had 75% funding, so we put in match of 25%, and we have done a small pilot scheme that's worked very well in doing that. We would welcome that. It will be a determination on whether budget is available, and you know the current status of the budgetary situation, but if budget is available, we'd be more than happy to look at living over the shop again.
Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Chair. Two quick questions. One's on the travellers unit and the need for a travelling unit or site in the Newry area has been identified. And I sit on the travel working group in Newry, and this question had come up at the last meeting. And I know here on the document that we got prior to this meeting, it states that land is to be identified for the year going forward. I just want to get an update on, has any land been looked at? If not, when do you propose to look at land for a site? And also, on a second question, it's one of the stats that frustrates me. I think I said this at the last meeting. 99% of homeless applications were processed within 33 working days. And I don't know whether that's the process of the application and then people are still sitting in the system for a year, year and a half, even more than that. But in extreme cases, I think a lot more needs to be done in temporary housing in extreme cases. One such case, just to be general, that I had last year, where we're looking at somebody that one of your officers came to the hospital with me, to the person who's only after having a child and homeless, extreme, couldn't, nowhere to go. And the only option available was to go into a B&B with no cooking facilities, so renting a room, which is totally inadequate. Now, the frustrating thing is, and the reason why I'm raising this point tonight, is I had a number of conversations with your colleagues about houses that are left free in developments when there's work going on and upgrades to different houses that people move into a free unit. Now, there's one such unit in a housing estate that I was asking for could be used for extreme cases of homelessness. And I was told under no circumstance could that be used. So we can send somebody with a day-old baby into a B&B. And this house still, 18 months, a two-bed house, is still sitting free in case, you know, there's upgrades to be done later on this year and families will move into that as need be. Again, the frustrating thing is this person's family had an upgrade done to the house and it was done while they were in the house. And the person was bedbound and the windows were taken out while they were in the house. So it's frustrating. I would like to see in the temporary housing that in extreme cases, and I know the homeless case, you've got 68% of 800 applications there, that's a lot of people, but in extreme cases, instead of sending people to B&Bs, we could use some of these houses that are there to be used in renovations and are sitting free for a temporary basis. I think that should be looked into.
Okay, I'll pass over to Kiri on the land and Loma on the Loma aligned to the process in the B&B, and I'll come in on that as well myself.
Yes, Councillor Byrne, we have identified the need for travellers in the Newry area, and what we've been doing over this past number of months is carrying out what we call a site investigation study for all of Newry in terms of the land that would be available not only for travellers but also for general needs housing. Now that study is ongoing at the moment. Now, as far as I understand, to date we haven't been able to identify a suitable site for travellers. Part of the thing that we have to be mindful of is that there are DOE guidelines around where sites can be located and things. So we're trying to be mindful of all of that and look at all the sites with that in mind. But we just haven't been able to come up with a suitable site yet. As I say, the study is ongoing, but it should conclude over this next month or two.
Okay, in relation to your query around the homelessness, Councillor Byrne, you're right. The 33 working days is the day to get the application processed, to have the information in and get a decision out to the applicant. We are fortunate in this location that we do have over 110 units of temporary accommodation, and that is quite significant compared to some other areas, but it never fully meets the demand that's coming through to us. What we find as well is because we don't have a good new build programme, we can't get people moved out of the temporary accommodation as quickly as we would like. So that's why we do have the safety net, I suppose, of B&Bs and hotels whenever we need to use them. In relation to your question about the vacant houses, I'm assuming that's a house that's being held as a decant for somebody. Now the difficulty with that, and I can see the logic you're explaining there, but that usually would be held for someone who's maybe getting an adaptation done to their property, and we won't go out to tender for the adaptation to their current property till we can confirm that we have a decant property available for them. And sometimes there's a delay in that process and those properties can sit a bit longer than we would hope. But it's a difficult balance, you know, to have the right amount of temporary accommodation that you need at the right time. Now, we do have a couple of new build schemes coming up shortly. There's one in Mullaghlawn in Newry, which is going to free up some of the people sitting in temporary accommodation, and we'll start to see a turnover. But it could have been just at that particular time that we have no other temporary accommodation available. But, you know, B&B is the safety net there when we have nothing else in the locality.
Yeah, just to come in on that, aligned to the processing 33 days, I agree with you, it's too long, and it was a target. It's not something that you are meant to do within 33 days. That's why our housing options has come in. It's been rolled in the office now all across Northern Ireland, and the trend in the office that it is in is showing reduced timeline on processing through, significantly reduced timeline on processing through. The second thing is I oversee on the homelessness, so I have been looking at the figures, and we were criticised around 10 years ago for predominantly using B&Bs or hotel type accommodation. The level of actually numbers on this is incredibly low, and we only use it by exception. If a full duty applicant comes forward, we try to get them into emergency housing as soon as we can, or we put them into private renters for the time and pay the top up for them. So it's only if we can't get another property. The one thing I would say to you, however, which you've said to me today, which I wasn't aware, and I will look into, which is if we have decanted properties, to look into and see if there is a time lag between our procurement and how long that is to actually knowing, which we will know because it's planned, on when people will move in. If there is an opportunity in that, I'm more than happy to look at that as maybe another creative way of trying to find a solution here.
Happy enough, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Harvey.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Siobhan, for coming and making your presentation. Thanks to your team for taking the questions. I'd like to first apologise for Councillor Walker. He said he's sorry he couldn't be here and he's left a question for me, like me to ask. What are your plans for social housing and also for sheltered accommodation in the Rowallan area going forward. Councillor Walker says that he has identified a couple of sites, and I can leave details later where you could maybe contact them regarding these. Also, I'd just like to, a wee question on one of your slides, Siobhan. You said that supporting people is down. Maybe you could explain why that is, and is it affecting people's lives, or is it because the demand is less? And I'd just like to finish by congratulating you on your scheme on the Antrim Road in Ballinahinch. It's a good job, so thank you.
Thank you. I'll answer the second question first, and if Loma doesn't mind on the specifics of the first question.
You take that one.
Okay. In regard to the Supporting People programme, it has been articulated out in the media aligned to us cutting it by 5%. I suppose the full accuracy sometimes doesn't come out in the reporting. What has happened is we get £72.8 million for Supporting People. That has been protected last year, and it was protected again this year. The rest of the budget that I have, which would be for grants, which would be for new builds, which would be for travellers, right across the board, has all been cut. So for the last 3 years, I've been taking 5% cuts across the board on the activity we do, and managing to do it actually internally as opposed to externally operating our hitting frontline service areas. So that has been very challenging, because that is linked into staffing, it's linked into restructuring, and it's linked into how we do our delivery differently. The Supporting People budget was protected. It was not cut. What actually happened on the Supporting People budget was that there were additional demands from the sector. There were pipeline accommodation schemes, which is where accommodation comes on board, but it doesn't hit the revenue line. So when you open one of these schemes, there's a requirement, obviously, for people moving in and then support aligned to that, so the revenue then hits. And the second one was special needs management allowance, was mentioned to reduce, and it didn't. Everybody knew that it was potentially going, and it didn't. It ended up staying. All of that money, by the way, went into the sector. It didn't. We didn't get any money in and via it elsewhere. So the full allocation we got, we actually gave out to everybody. There will be consistently, and I think continued, demands on the area of Supporting People for funding. And we are aware of that. I think also what we need to do is we need to also try, because budgets are tight everywhere, we also need to look at how we can reconfigure how we do our business and try and do it in a more efficient way. And what I mean is, we can have certain business areas that they may have 5 facilities. And the question is, in how they manage those 5 facilities, is there a smarter way of doing that? And consolidating some of the activities where we have a range of the same, I suppose, entities running them in different locations across Northern Ireland.
Okay, just in terms of the housing need in Rowallan, the 5-year projected housing need for Rowallan is for 129 units. The new build programme for the 3-year period has 52 units already on site, and another 43 units programmed. So that's the 3-year programme, so it's reasonably well catered for.
Yeah.
In terms of supported housing, it would be for older people, in terms of any accommodation for them. We haven't really seen a significant need coming through for supported housing in the area. I prefer to take another look at that if you think that there is some particular area where it needs to be looked at specifically. But generally speaking, there wouldn't be a massive demand for elderly people. For elderly sheltered accommodation.
Yeah, predominantly it's floating support now.
Yeah.
Where people actually, when we look into it, are saying they want to stay within their own home and get the support wrapped around them, facilitating staying where they are.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Councillor.
What does your
Sheltered housing was traditionally done by housing associations, where there would have been all sorts of facilities there for the people, but now it is with the shift to supporting people in their own home, then there isn't the same need that there would have been in the past. But generally speaking, it's where people are identified with complex needs where they can't remain in their own home. We would consider then in terms of what their actual housing requirements would be. But that may not necessarily be sheltered accommodation. We would take into consider a range of factors, and Loma may want to talk a bit more about that. But generally speaking, what we find is that most older people tend to want to stay in their own home. And a number of locations where we have felt that there may have been a housing need, we've went out and done latent demand testing in the areas, and we just haven't been able to identify the need for shelter type accommodation. Not sure whether that answers your question, but.
Thank you. All right, Councillor Henry. Councillor Henry.
Thanks, Chairperson. Well, I just first of all wanted to comment on Brona McGorian and how much we're going to miss her. The councillors in this area work very closely with the housing executive in Brona before she got promoted, and fantastic work in the community relations, interagency work, everything from working with community associations, cleanups, and to say antisocial behaviour and dealing with a whole difficult issues. So she's going to be sorely missed, and we'll be looking for you to replace her to the same standard. But on the other hand, in the provision of social housing, there are a number of gaps in our area, and they're getting quite serious at this stage. I know that Dermot here and I worked here over 10 years ago with other councillors in the area to try and get planning permission to build social houses in Ballyhornan's Greenbelt prior to the exemption of PPS 21 being present, and we succeeded in doing so. And basically, these sites have been handed over from one housing association to another, and we've had a series of housing executive people who've not handed over to each other properly. We've been through three separate demand surveys, because each time a demand survey is done, it expires, and then when a new housing executive person comes in, we have to have a new demand survey, which shows exactly the same thing as we showed 10 years ago, that there's a demand. And we the site we have is beside the family centre, and you know it's painfully embarrassing at this stage that after all these years and all the work by councillors with the housing executive to get that development, it's still not done, you know, and they're still going around in circles wondering whether they're going to do it, you know. So there is that issue, and I think it's gone beyond urgent at this stage. I think, and I'm sure Dermot would back me up on that if you asked him. Separately, in Strangford, we had an extraordinary situation whereby an assessed housing need was met by applying for outlying planning permission without a connection to the main road, and without first of all asking the site owner how much the site was going to be. So when outlying planning permission was obtained, of course, you weren't able to develop there because the site wasn't purchasable, which seems a very strange way to carry on. Also, it met opposition within the village because it would have meant forcing those houses through the already congested Links estate. So I know, and this is going back 3 years now, myself and Naomi, and indeed Chris Hazard as MLA, pointed you to a separate site at the other end of the village, in the centre of the village, which would be perfect, 30 metres from the shop, the footpath to the school, beside the play park, beside the football pitch, and we can't get you guys to take an interest in it, even though the old site is completely useless because you're never going to be able to buy it, you're never going to be able to get access to the road. You're saying, oh, look, we have a development which no housing association is prepared to touch. They're all refusing to look at it because of the issues associated with it, and we still haven't got buy-in to look at the site that we've been trying to get for you. And thirdly, there's been an ongoing lack of one- and two-bedroom units in the Glasskillock area, and we've known this for a number of years, and there doesn't seem to be progress on that. I know we had some small amount of properties brought forward in Killock, but it's really not sufficient to satisfy the demand. So those are my three issues. I think if only you had Brona McGorian working in the housing delivery area, maybe I wouldn't have to be complaining. Thank you.
Okay. Kerry, I'll move to you and then I'll come in.
Okay. In terms of the Ballyhornan scheme, Councillor, our housing association are still working on that. They insist that it will be delivered. I know it's been going on a long time, and I know that we did carry out a latent demand test there fairly recently again, but the need is fairly robust at the moment, and we are trying to work with ARC in terms of getting them to progress that particular scheme. It is a work in progress, and hopefully it will be delivered. In terms of Strangford, the links, my understanding is the landowner is still in negotiations with housing associations in terms of the sale of the land, and that apparently he has been speaking to staff in the housing executive about that just within the last 2 weeks, and he says he is trying to progress that particular site. In terms of the 1 and 2 bedroom units, yes, we recognise that there is a shortage of 1 and 2 bedroom units in quite a number of locations, and we are trying to address that through the social housing development programme, where we have a specific number of 1 beds in particular that we will try and deliver each year, a set of 200 each year. Part of the difficulty that we have is that quite a number of the rural areas, it's more difficult to get small schemes into those particular areas. So that does create an issue in terms of trying to be able to deliver small unit accommodation in those particular areas.
Can I come back in, Chairperson?
Do you want to answer?
First of all, say on the 1 to 2 bed units, there's around 200 averaged every year in the programme of which we're delivering. But in regard to 1 and 2 bed units, we know we need them really for welfare reform and moving forward, but they are not seen either privately or by housing associations as viable, let's say financially viable, as your larger units. And it's something we have to work around to see on what solution we can put into place. In regard to Ballyhorn and Lynx, I'm happy to go and look into this. I guess at each of the councils every so often, different schemes, and when I look into the schemes, they're not always what it appears and on the detail when you go on the files. But if we're finding it's a housing association problem that you're saying hasn't moved for a long time, I'm quite happy to look at that, because we are always able to nominate another housing association to carry through to the end. So I'll make a commitment to look at those two to follow that up.
In Ballyhorn and Marin, your fourth housing association, and indeed I think the current housing association is the same one as you had 8 or 9 years ago, if I'm not correct. They're just doing a merry-go-round of passing it one to the other. In Strangford, the councillors got together and managed to get the road service and the Department of the Environment, the people who do conserve buildings in the Department of the Environment, to agree to let a road access the site. But of course the housing association gave up on it because, first of all, the landowner was looking for an excessive price for the site if you got planning permission without ever looking for a price on it beforehand, and therefore you couldn't afford to build the road down to the main road. So basically there's solid opposition in Strangford for that site, which councillors have voiced. I know MLAs have voiced, and I think the MP is also voicing it. And we're all wondering why you won't use the site in the centre of the village, where there won't be the same cost implications and where there are no problems about getting onto the road, you know?
I understand that the site at the links has outlined planning permission, and because it is outside the development limits, we won't be able to pursue another site in the area until such times as the outline planning permission for the site at the links has expired.
Expires in November.
Yes, it is still live. Once it expires, if nothing has happened at that stage, then we can look at that as an issue. But it won't be until the actual outline planning permission has expired that we'll be able to do that.
And I'm happy to look at Ballyhorn, and I thought the problem may be the housing association or difficulties in doing that and supporting them, but if 4 housing associations can't do it, then there's a problem on this site. So I have to look into and find out what the specific problem is. But as I said, I'm more than happy to come back to you with the specifics on it.
Thanks.
Councillor Allen. Thanks, sir. Demand for social housing in Uri is huge, as it is throughout the whole of the district. Given that fact, why did the housing executive, as a corporate body, decide to demolish most of North Street flats and simply do nothing with the site? I think it's just used as an extended car park in the meanwhile, and yet it's bang middle of Newry city centre and surely would be valuable
for future investment. So that's just the question I have for you.
Thanks, Mr. Hill.
Cleary?
I have no knowledge of this particular site. I haven't been involved at the moment.
Yeah, Councillor Highland, I know looking at it nowadays you would wonder why that decision was taken, but if we think back to whenever those flats were demolished, there were issues with some structural issues, but there were serious issues with antisocial behaviour, and a lot of them were void at the time. Even at that time, there wasn't a pressing need for us to develop that site. So that site actually sits in the ownership of the council now. The Housing Executive passed that land over to the council. Now, we have been informed by the council that there are plans to use it. I know it's sitting as a car park at the moment, but they have informed us that there are plans to use it. If that didn't come to fruition, we would be quite happy to look at that again as public sector land that we could use for social housing. To date, they've said no. So, if
I
we
think
can,
what we'd like to do is, and this is the importance of community planning and the local development plan, most of what you're talking about is sites that would be there within the local development plan. It is to have a partnership arrangement with the council so we can discuss. You have local knowledge and we have knowledge in what the social requirement need is, and to discuss it and work together to actually bring through these plans.
Yeah. The council are there undertaking an assets, you know, review at present. So it's what's best for the community, I suppose, and that's what community plan is about, and all the different statute bodies working together. Councillor Hart. Yeah. It is. Well, that can be checked, but I think it is.
I think if I can clarify, Councillor, there are two car parks adjacent to each other now. There's one that we would refer to as the North Street flat site, which is in council ownership, and there's another car park which is in Department for Communities ownership, right beside each other, as I understand them, but I can clarify, bring you back the exact details of those. But certainly there's a North Street flat site that is in the ownership of the council.
Alright, Councillor Hart.
Thanks again for your presentation, it was very informative. I'm just coming back on the temporary housing, just to see if you could possibly look at how you accommodate vulnerable young women in your temporary accommodation, especially in the Sandy Street area of Newry, which are houses of multiple occupancy with at least 6-7 bed sets in them. I'm dealing with a young woman at the minute who went in there temporarily for 3 weeks a year and a half ago. She's still there. At the moment, from Thursdays to Mondays, she sleeps in a car, because anybody who knows Sandy Street knows that the PSNA permanently nearly have a checkpoint at the corner of the road, because they spend day and daily, you'll see the police there. She currently lives in one of these apartments, and she shares the block with drug users, drug dealers, schizophrenics, people with mental health issues. If there was some way of looking at how young women are dealt with on a temporary housing basis, because one woman in a house with 5 males and people coming banging on the windows and banging on the doors and coming out her front door into a puddle of blood lying in the front hall isn't something for somebody who's in a vulnerable state in the first place.
Mama?
Councillor Hart, I'm happy to discuss the case with you afterwards rather than get into her details, but just to explain that the flats that we have in Sandy Street unfortunately are the only single type accommodation we have for temporary accommodation. So the rest of the accommodation is made up of 2 and 3 bed properties, but I take on board what you're saying and we'll look at this case and see, because no one should be living in their car at the weekend whenever they should have temporary accommodation. But it is to do with the supply of temporary accommodation we have. But I will discuss it with you after.
All right. Councillor Trudeau.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation tonight. Just going back to one of the figures that you threw up there in the presentation, which was for 1,906 new units over a 5-year period, is that an identified need from 2015, whenever the HIP was brought forward, or is that an identified need from now for 5 years forward? And also, given the current situation in Stormont where you've already sort of put it out in the report that you've actually sent out to ourselves, where there's been a bit of uncertainty over funding for 2017-18 and also for target setting. How is that going to impact as well the delivery of programmes of works regarding maintenance, funding for housing association builds and the like?
I'll take the first question in terms of the housing need. The housing need is for the period 2016-21, so it's identified 1,906 units needed over that five-year period, and that covers the whole of the council area.
And in regard to funding, when we get through monitoring rounds, they don't call it a monitoring round at the moment because of it's a financial allocation we have, but if there is the opportunity to bid, we are doing that for the new build programme. At today's date and the requirements of what we've needed year on year, we have been given, in fairness, full money for that. So we're looking at altogether up to 8,000 in the next 3 years right across Northern Ireland. And if we got more money, we'll try and attempt to do more.
Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, thank you very much for the presentation. This is a question that I have asked before, particularly in some of our rural areas where there is a need for housing. There is private developers able to go in and build developments of 10, 20, 40, 60 houses. Then private landlords move in and snap them up. The housing developers are then assigning people who are on the benefit system that to these houses, trapping them in a poverty trap because they have to find £20, £30 to top up the rent repayments. Is there any way the housing drive could get the housing associations to look at building some in some of the rural areas so that we're not creating this trap with private developers and private landlords?
Yes, what you're asking about is the top-up payments and aligned to the affordability and moving forward with welfare reform, the affordability. We are looking at that, and really what you're looking at is the rental rates. We don't have a rental policy, certainly for private sector across Northern Ireland, simply because a lot of the private sector are small landlords, and actually they may move out of the market of being landlords. But in respect to the type of bills and what future-wise we could do, and on linking to affordability index, we are doing some pilots in the housing executive in order to see if some of that later on can be rolled out to try and address this issue, because I agree we are aware of this, to look at this between the difference between what will come out of housing benefit now increasing in comparison to what the rates of rental are, which actually tends to reflect on what they've invested in the property in the beginning. So if we can build the houses cheaper, then they can put the rental rates lower, and in that way that can break down the barrier between that top-up allowance you're talking about.
Thank you. Just to, sorry, Chair.
I
would agree with you on some of the things you said, but a lot of these private landlords are not small private landlords. Some of them can have 20, 30, 40, up to 100 houses. And I think there needs to be a lot more attention paid to these people and the number of houses they're having in small rural areas, and the way that ordinary people can't afford and can't get access to housing because they're able to build these substantial estates.
I'm happy to bring that back to the Department for Communities. That's where the landlord registration scheme comes into play, and that everybody's meant to be registered as a landlord, and then from that it's a monitoring and an oversight on that. They have gone out recently with plans specifically to look at what level of governance they can place in the market. I would agree with you, there are some that are, as you say, 100 plus, but across, right across Northern Ireland, the predominance is actually the 1 to 2 house landlord. And with the change in taxation rates coming in now, that's really going to hit in April. We are watching that closely, because any impact on private sector rental coming out of the market impacts us with even a bigger housing issue and crisis.
All right, Councillor Quinn. Councillor McAteer, making a movement there.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. Yeah, I just interested a couple of things. The boiler replacement scheme, I think that's one you administered. Just a friend today, actually quite slow. The whole procedure, and start very slow and follow up unless you followed up, week after week. Still ongoing as well. That was wasn't very responsive, really. The other thing is community grants. I see your community grants available, $19,000 for 16-17. Most of it spent. I wonder what the prospects of next year.
In respect to the boiler replacement, we actually reviewed the process, so we broke it down into probably half the time for doing it. So I'm happy to look at the specific cases if you're finding boiler replacement slow. It should be fairly fast with respect to installation of something as simple as a boiler. What we are finding is, though, that the affordable warmth is taking over from the boiler replacement program, that people are actually wanting more done. So they're looking at their loft insulation, they're looking at the windows and in the boilers and in the dual controls. So I'm happy to look at the specifics of this because it may be because the affordable warmth is overtaking the boiler replacement program. If that's the case, I can look at it and see as to what the holdups there are.
It's almost a year. Absolutely. It's almost a year since it started out the request.
Right. Well, it shouldn't be. Not for a boiler. It shouldn't be.
And on the community.
Yes, in relation to the community grant, every year we have an allocated allowance of $15,000 to spend in our area, and that is for community groups to do social enterprise, volunteering type schemes within housing executive estates. Last year we actually managed to avail of more than the $15,000 because there had been a slight underspend in some other areas, so we got a hold of some of that. But every year the amount is $15,000 for our community groups.
And is it just inside the states, given that some of the states aren't, there's not total ownership now in any houses out of states, so how do you define where you're going to administer it?
It's quite broad, so we are not looking at percentages of home ownership in our estates, as long as it is what even would have been a traditional housing executive estate. What you find is it tends to link in with the community groups that we've been working with anyway. So things like allotments are coming up, people doing men's sheds and things like that, and it just happens to be that most of those are within housing executive estates and community groups.
Or nearby them.
Or yes. As long as there's a benefit can be shown to housing executive residents.
Who do you contact with regard to that?
Right, that can come through the local office. So if you contact Eileen Grant, she can get you the form.
I remember Eileen. Okay, thank you.
All right, Councillor Baxter. Councillor Morning.
Yeah, thank you. Wood pellet boilers. Is there an ongoing issue with them, One client who his boiler hasn't been working on over 2 weeks now, and he's waiting for someone to come out and repair it. And this has been an ongoing issue with this boiler. So, is this a one-off, or is it something that you have an issue with across the board, and how are you hoping to repair it?
I'll pass the specifics of that to Loma. Wood pellets, it's not as popular as the standard gas boilers, would be true to say, and I am not a technical person. I'm not sure Loma is, but we'll see if Loma can answer this.
I'll give it a minute. Yes, so we don't have a lot of wood pellet boilers. We've tended to use them where oil or gas hasn't been an option for people. We do sometimes have issues cropping up with these. I think it's fair to say that. What we will do in the initial phase of getting a complaint is ask for a technical inspection to be done. So we ask our heating contractor to go out and give us, a full report on the status of it. If gas becomes available or if there's issues with it, we are quite happy to change it. But if it is fully serviceable and it's something that can be kept functioning, well, then we would ask that people retain the wood pellet boilers. What you might find sometimes as well is that somebody has been allocated a property and wood pellet wouldn't have been their preferred choice. And maybe some people find that a bit awkward. But if you want to give me the details of the case, I'm not sure I'm aware of it. We could look at that individual one.
I attended the Brummer on Friday.
Right.
That's what it has been dealt with, but it's just because it's been ongoing. And I know it's the second one in that particular area where there has been problems. I just did change the other one to oil. But I don't think this man has the space to put an oil tank in for his.
Well, we can look at the options. We'll have to make sure that somebody has a fully functioning system, so we can look at that for you.
Yeah.
And can I
maybe even go to gas, for the gas will become available, so
the
it
gas
might be an option.
Yeah.
Might be an option of putting cylinder gas in or something to,
yes,
on a short term basis.
We've done that on occasion too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Can I just reassure people as well that Bruna McGorian isn't leaving the office and shall still be there doing her good hard work that she does?
Yes. I know that.
I was wondering if they had sent an email. Hopefully I'll get a response. Anybody else? I think that's it. Just in regards to myself, I suppose in Newcastle, I think you saw everybody's well aware that there's a chronic shortage of housing. Both social housing and private housing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, the 10 units in the refurbishment of Bracken Avenue. I'd like to thank everyone for pushing that too. And the Donard Street development will hopefully, alleviate some of the pressures. But it is an extremely chronic situation at the minute. The other point you made about the disability adaptations and the design, the planning, it has been very slow and running into years, for people. So anything that speeds that process up will be welcome. And just in regards to universal credit, do you want to say something maybe about universal credit, how you are preparing as an organisation? Obviously, there's been some concerns, voiced by citizen advice and indeed political parties as well about the rollout of universal credit. So, just as an organisation, maybe how you are preparing.
Yeah. Okay, in relation to universal credit, we actually have a dedicated welfare reform team that are providing staff with the updates as we go through the many changes with welfare reform. Universal credit, you're probably aware, is going to hit first in Limavady. So, we shall be talking very closely to our colleagues in Limavady to see how they get on. We have training for staff. We have Citizens Advice have actually come into our offices. We are talking to community groups as well. But really, I suppose, Councillor Clark, a lot of it is we're going to have to wait and see how it rolls out. The changes that have happened today with the bedroom tax and the benefits cap and all of that, we have been sending out letters to everybody affected and we've tried to chase up mitigation payments and stuff. Universal credit, early days, I suppose, really, just.
Yeah, no.
And to answer your last one, which is really, I suppose, opportune, if I listen to what really is trending across the chamber here, it is the lack of housing. And it is in different forms, and that's what you're saying, and on sites and what's happening. So I would reiterate again, that's why we have the place shapers, and that's why we want to work as closely as we can on the local development plan. The more we can share the intelligence together, the more specifics we can know as to what we can do to unblock these sites and what we can do to actually develop them out. And some of them, as I go into them, is a lot more complex than you think, because there's normally a private developer sitting in the mix there somewhere. So, and we are a public entity, so we have to do it at the minimum of our affordability allowed within the scheme. But the more we work together on this, I think the more we can unblock some of these things.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Just to endorse comments in regards to the staff, if you can bring it back, it's appreciated, the staff, all the staff, and how they assist councillors. But the council also, as you said, as a partner in community plan as well. Owen and Brona, if you can bring that back into your offices. So I'd like to thank Siobhan, Kerry, and Loma for your presentation. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.